I go by the name of Kina van Staden, 28 of age. My pronoun is her. I stay in the East Rand of Johannesburg with my family. I wouldn't say that I don't have a voice as a transgender woman in South Africa, because for me, accessing a lot of stuff, government facilities, I haven't really come across, you know, discrimination or feeling maybe down when someone referred me as Mr. Meanwhile, I present myself as a woman. I always make sure when I go to these facilities, I always, it's either when I speak to a consultant or I speak to the person that I had to see, I always introduce myself first before the person just assume. Because, you know, the community and society, they just assume. They don't ask, what is your pronoun? How would you like me to refer you as? So I always make sure wherever I go that I introduce myself and I make clear to the person that I'm going to interact with, that the person know who and what I am and what I refer to be called as. What really silences women, especially in relationships, it's, you know, in this community, I feel that when you have that someone and that person gives you love, but then the love comes with, difficulties in the relationship, making the relationship very uncomfortable, but then at the same time, the person love you, the person can go out in the community with you. So, you know, it's these things that silence women out there in the community, is because when they are with this person is free around them, this person is free with them, appearing with them in the community as transgender women. That is the thing that silenced them, and some of them really, really takes long, I call it a closet, to stay in that closet, because they're scared once this person leaves or walk away, they would be alone, they won't be having that love again, they won't be having that person that they call their partner, going out alone. So I think that's the main fact of silencing our community as the transgender community.
Usually you'd find that transgender women usually speak a lot, but the transgender men are always just really quiet. We didn't find a lot of them. I don't understand why.
So the reason why transgender men, they prefer to be very discreet, because they fear for stigmatized from the society. So it's a very huge, how am I gonna put it? We're very sensitive, you know? And being stigmatized in the community, it's a big hit on us. So that's why they very pulled back. They won't easily open up, and they very, very discreet, because they're scared of being stigmatized.
do you feel empowered financially to stand on your own?
At the moment, not yet, but I have future plans. But at this moment, I'm not yet financially stable, really stable. But then I'm having something that's keeping me busy at this for now. But then, yeah, I believe in the future that I would.
In your personal experience, does money also silence trans women?
Yes. So, in my personal experience, money does. I don't want to lie. I had, I actually went through something similar, had someone in my life, and the person kept on just giving. If sending me money and stuff like that, but then he didn't want it to be seen with me. It was always an indoor thing. When we had to go out, we would go out far, not in the community where I was known or where he was known. So yeah, and you know, receiving that money actually did keep me quiet for quite a long time. But then I felt that there was a stage that I felt that no, I've been quiet for too long. I can't be with someone just to receive money and not living the life that I want to live. Because I want to have that special person where I can go out for dinner with, I can go out for lunch with, and not be scared what the community would say. Culture do silence a woman.
Yes.
Especially our Black South African cultures. Most of them, they are brought up in, most of the women, they are brought up in a very strict family, and whereby the family would say a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and a man should get married to a woman and a woman should get married to a man. But then the families, they don't sit down with their children or with the individual and ask the person that, okay, you've grown up now, what are you into, or how do you see yourself in the next 5 years, or where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? So they just follow culture and tradition. They don't sit down with the children and ask them these kind of questions. That's one of the reasons why our transgender women and our LGBTI community, when they finish with school and go to university, and once they finish with university, that's where they pull themselves away from home and from their families, because now they can stand on their own and they don't have to go home and have to explain themselves, because now they're working for themselves and they can live the life that they want to live. So that's one of the reasons why some of them, some of the transgender women, they walk away from home.
Interesting. Did you ever have to be faced with that?
I have actually. It was 2010, where I normally used to just, when I leave home, I would just wear a t-shirt and a jeans. And when I get to my friend's place, I would always dress up something sexy, something that I feel comfortable in, a dress maybe, or a blouse and a formal pants, and then go out with my friends. And 2010 on the December, I bumped into my family in the club that I was in, dressed up all feminine, and it was really something big because my family did not know about it. I actually went home the following day and got shouted, and my granny actually gave me some words there that I can't still forget up until today. Told me that she didn't raise a woman, she raised a man. And meanwhile, I was the one that was doing all the female work inside of the house. Yeah, so I left home for like a month and I was still schooling. I left home for a month until she came and fetched me with the police. And once we went down to the station, the officer asked her what really the matter, and then she explained to them what's the matter. And I just, the only thing that I said to the officer, I told him that I'm gay. That time I was not fully informed about transgender women, and I was still young. So I just told the officer that, look, I'm gay and this is how I feel, and if my granny don't accept me for who and what I am, I ain't going back to her place, to her house. And the officer told her that you did hear what the child said, so it's up to you. So that's how she actually let me in back at home. And from there on, I stayed at home. 2012, when I made my matric, I actually won a dress for my matric ball. It was also a hustle though at school, because the principal did not like what was gonna happen, and I had to sit with the SGB, and he still didn't want it. And I told the SGB that if they're not going to allow me to wear a dress to the matric ball, which I feel comfortable in, then I'd have to take the matter to the Department of Education. And that's how I actually got the opportunity to wear a dress to my matric ball.
When did you really discover your rights as an individual outside of your family environment?
So it all happened when I actually relocated from home to Johannesburg, from Northern Cape. Actually, that's why I did my matric and finished there. And when I came this side, I was staying in Benoni, which I still stayed that side. Then I went to these workshops that one of the clinics has, safe spaces for transgender women and LGBTI community. So that's where I actually got a lot of information and made me realize that I have rights, and made me realize that I have a right to actually be who I want to be and present myself how I want to be presented, and not like in my younger age days whereby I would have to go from home wearing like a boy, and then when I get out there, then I would transform myself into a woman. And when I got this side, I felt free, because my aunt understand who and what I am, and she actually sat me down and she said, like, listen, my child, if this is what you want in your life, then don't let me be in your way. You can live your life the way you want to. I'm not here to judge you, I'm here to support you. And she was my supportive system, my role model also. Yeah. The advice that I would give an upcoming transgender woman is that she needs to network with other transgender women. And once she network with other transgender women, she needs to also find out in her community where is safe spaces for transgender women. If not, she can always come to me. I could always refer her or let her know whenever there is a safe space for transgender women. Because here in Johannesburg, there is a lot of, sometimes each month, there is safe spaces for transgender women, and also in Pretoria, if ever the person is staying that side. But then I think at these safe spaces, that's where transgender women actually finds themselves, and they can actually open up and be comfortable, because that's where a lot of information goes out, making friends, and yeah. So I think the safe spaces is actually one of the strongest and the most powerful safe spaces where the transgenders can come and network, and you know, and finding out more about their rights. At these safe spaces as well, they organize for some people to go to their houses to inform the parents that, listen, your child is a transgender, she preferred to be, she's a transgender woman, and also more inform them more around about the LGBTI community and transgender women. Yeah, so that's what they do for the transgender women. So that's why I say that it's one of the strongest places where they can actually go to find themselves and to let their parents know that who and what they are. Because some of the transgender women, they scared to do it themselves, because they scared because of the religion at home, the tradition at home. Yeah, so these safe spaces, they help a lot. For a, let me say, a heterosexual man or a heterosexual woman, for a heterosexual woman or a man to actually advocate for transgender women or transgender men,